I asked, you delivered. If you got a question buying, selling, questions on, well, laws and lawsuits, all about the real estate business, Eric Katch, keeping it real, is this week, because you all remember last week that we rescheduled, right? Everybody but me. Welcome back, friend.
As I said, like, hey, man, how you doing? You're like, oh, pretty good. I'm like, you knew I was coming in, right? Because I'm usually the second Wednesday of the month.
That's what the ads tell me.
Not the second Wednesday of the month. And yet last week you planned on me being here. And I was not. I was in Orlando with my family, took my kids to Disney.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm kind of a Disney hater. I was a Disney hater simply because, like, I saw it for the commercialism, and anytime somebody's obsessed with something, I kind of am just like anti it. It was.
You hate when people are enjoying things too?
Yeah, stop enjoying things.
I thought I was the only one.
No, like, I want people to enjoy things, but like when it becomes like an obsession, it is met with a little bit of sass. And then I got there and we went to three parks in 3 days and 70,000 steps and like all these things. And I could give you, and it was 89 degrees. And I could give you all these reasons why I should be a curmudgeon for it. And like my kids loved it. And that meant that I really just enjoyed it. I appreciate Disney for what it is. I'm not obsessed. I'm not like this crazy fan for it, but I appreciate what it made my kids feel. And that made me feel something too.
I was going to ask and then I remembered, oh, wait. Because there's a Star Wars park there, but you've never laid your eyes upon the product.
Upon the wars of the stars.
Yes, I have not. I'm just saying you're missing out.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Next time you go back, you go there on my behalf, okay?
You know,
me a lightsaber.
Disney adults are the same obsession as Star Wars adults, which are the same obsession as like NDSU Bison or Green Bay Packer adults. It's all the same. You just wear different uniforms.
I asked the question once and found myself in a bunch of the camps. I go, what's the most annoying fan base? I provided some options, but people felt free to add their own.
Yes, and it was whomever their rival was, correct?
Yeah, and it was kind of humbling.
Okay.
Yeah, it hurt. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
I did a video, and folks, I actually encourage you to check it out. If you go to Hatch Realty's YouTube page, I did a video on the 9 things I hate about Fargo. So many people talk about the things that they love, but I wanted to give a really honest analysis. And I said that I think number 5 or number 6 was that this is the most spoiled fan base in all of college football.
Yeah.
And it's entitled, and it is too arrogant and I'm an NDSU alum. I am diehard Bison. I have awesome seats. I will cheer them on for forever. And yet this is a very, very spoiled fan base.
You're absolutely right. As a season ticket holder and as an alum as well, I'm in that fan base. Still look around at times like, good God, guys, come on. Take a breath.
Yeah. No, I want the Bison to win, but like, the fact that the team lost like 2 or 3 games and so the dome was half full. Like, okay, now we're doing something wrong.
Fire the whole coaching staff.
Uh-huh.
You want to talk about real estate or should we just keep bashing people listening to the show? I do that from every other 2 to 5.
I know you do. Can we brighten the mood and talk about lawsuits?
Yes, that's exactly. I want to talk about lawsuits. This was brought to my attention and Eric was kind enough to find some more details on this.
Yeah,
Eric
hit us
Johnson,
with it.
Yeah, major lawsuit. For those that haven't been following along, what is this when it comes to the fees, right? Tell it to me like I'm a 5-year-old child so I can understand.
Okay. So for forever, real estate commissions have been arranged. And people, you need to understand this. What is the norm is different than what is mandated. Real estate commissions are always negotiable. What has been the norm is that the seller traditionally pays for the realtor's commission for both the buyer and the seller. And so what's standard is 6-ish%. There's some that do 7. There's some that do 5. But like, let's just go with that standard 6%. That's what's been in the news. So for forever, the norm has been that the seller pays that 6%. It's built into the sales price. And so when it comes to proceeds, let's say it's a $300,000 home. 6% off of that is $18,000. So the proceeds that the seller will get is $282,000. Half of that commission traditionally goes to the agent that represents the buyer, goes to their company, and half stays with the listing agent. So that's what's happened as the norm. Well, there was a giant lawsuit in the state of Missouri, And this lawsuit named the National Association of Realtors, otherwise known as NAR, which is the way in which you say no in Australian. Hey, do you want some food? NAR, I'm good. So just understand, I'm not speaking in a very horrible Australian accent. I'm just using the National Association of Realtors. But they named NAR, they named Keller Williams, they named REMAX, they named a couple of other large franchise brokerages. Okay. Keller Williams, this was a $1.7 or $1.8 billion lawsuit just in the state of Missouri. They went and Keller Williams settled. REMAX settled, KW settled for $170 million-ish, and REMAX settled for $100 million-ish. Well, on Friday, the National Association of Realtors just settled for over $400 million. The reason why the lawsuit was there is they said that was essentially steering and saying that, no, this was – realtors have done a bad job of – explaining in full how all these commissions work. I actually can say with confidence, I'm so thankful for the training that we've given our people at Hatch Realty, because this has not been our case. But certainly, for some people, truth is always reality. So now these lawsuits that are happening just in the state of Missouri, and there will be copycats in every state across the industry, they're now changing the way in which commissions are paid. So if today, I'll say yesterday, if yesterday before all this change happened, if I was representing a buyer, I would be able to go onto the MLS on our private side. There's what you see, Tyler, the public side, that's most of the information, but we have a private side that gives us the rest of the information. And on there, it will say, well, I'm getting 3% paid for this. And so I know what I'm going to make. Well, now they've changed the rule and they've said, listen, no longer will it be displayed for realtors on if the seller's even willing to pay a commission. They're trying to change the landscape of it to say that sellers don't need to pay the buyer a commission, pay the buyer's agent a commission. So that is the core piece of this. Now, it has always been true that the seller doesn't need to pay the buyer's commission, but it has been standard and the norm in which you do, because if you understand the crux of this, a buyer that's represented by a realtor traditionally is more approved or more qualified. They've done the work. They're a ready, willing, and able buyer where they've been filtered through and coached up well. In addition to that, when you display a full commission on the MLS, the agent knows, hey, this is a great spot for me in which to get paid. And so they're coming with more confidence, because most of the time, realtors don't do their job. I'd love to rave about my industry, Tyler, and I can't. Okay. I can't rave about my industry, because I look at the average realtor, and the average realtor sells 5 homes a year. Half the realtors sell less than that, if you factor in, yeah, you know, who's below average. So I will say more than half of the realtors in this industry aren't really well experienced at what they do. It is a massive difference between somebody who sells 30 homes a year and somebody who sells 3. Would you rather go to a surgeon that does 30 surgeries a month or 3?
Yeah, you all look at those reports. How many stars did that doctor get before they get the knife out?
Yeah. Experience matters, and a good experienced agent will be able to explain all this in full to people, but bad agents have done a bad job of representing a ton of people. And so our industry is now demanding different. They're demanding better, but it is coming at the cost of two parties that I'm really genuinely fearful for, because a lot of buyers will now be going without representation, believing that they're going to be able to save a buck. But in this season that we are at, and I don't know how long the season is going to last, is there are more buyers than there are sellers. There's more demand than there is supply. And a first-time home buyer, if they are going at it on their own, or even a home buyer that's bought 10 times before, if they're going at it on their own, they're going into a professional fight as an amateur, regardless of the experience that you have. That's dangerous. If you choose to have realtor representation and the seller's not paying that, well, that means that the buyer needs to pay out of pocket. And two groups get really harmed by that, because if they want representation, a realtor shouldn't work for free. Can we all agree that somebody shouldn't work for free if they're a professional, mm-hmm, given their time, their expertise, their talent? They shouldn't work for free. So if a realtor wants to get paid 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%, whatever it may be, and they don't get it from the seller, they need to get it from the buyer.
Right.
And home prices are more than they ever have been. Inflation is more than it ever has been. Interest rates are higher than they've been in the last 20 years. Competition is also high. And by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, if you haven't heard, you now got to pay my commission too, out of your pocket. Uh-huh. How many buyers is that hurting? The answer is a lot. And then you have veterans. Veterans rely on $0 down. They're able. That's the only loan where you can put $0 down and still get a loan. It's one of the opportunities. How are they going to get representation and how are they going to pay for it?
Right.
Because the seller is no longer as a standard paying for it. Now, I will say this, Tyler. I believe that most sellers, if they're coached well, should see the advantage to still offering a commission. I think that if they offer a commission, they will have more buyers with more flexibility to honor their purchase price. If anything, that seller can pay the commission but stack it on. So say it's a $300,000 home. They're not paying commission. Well, the buyer may come in and say, hey, I need you to pay this 3%. So now they're going to get $309 for their house. And so long that it appraises, it all cashes the same because they're paying 3% to the buyer's agent. So all that to be said, these changes go into effect mid-July. And it is going to have a lot of variations to it. But our industry has been literally shaken in the last 5 days.
The bottom line that people are that ask the question is, okay, what's that mean for my buying and selling power? And I mean, that's where you're saying that the biggest crunch is going to come down.
Well, I honestly think that most of our show today is probably going to talk about this because people need to know and get educated on this. And let me say this as a disclaimer. I and my team have sold over 7,000 houses in the last 10 years. We are well-versed to speak of a buyer and seller's experience. In addition to that, I serve as a real estate coach for some of the top teams and professionals in this industry. And I have been studying this since it came out on Friday to make sure that I know what is in the best interest of the buyers, what's in the best interest of the sellers, how realtors can serve them exceedingly well. And the byproduct of serving somebody well is that you get paid. And so making sure that everything is on the up and up, I want to be as clear and transparent as possible. So if you're listening right now and you have questions, if you have scathing rebuttals, we want to hear from you because this is a big deal. And I want to answer that question as we go through the show of what this means for buyers and sellers and how they need to navigate.
You got those types of questions coming in. And one factor that I'll get your answer after a quick pause here is how does it work when a firm represents both buyer and seller, for example?
That's going to be so commonplace.
We're going to find out the answer to that when we come back here. Eric Hatch is in studio. It's Keeping It Real with Eric Hatch here on Afternoons Live. I'm Tyler Axers, your host. More next. Eric Hatch, our guest, is Keeping It Real with Eric Hatch, and we're talking about this lawsuit that has the ripple effects in the buying side of this in particular, not just isolated to it, but Eric, you got a lot of feedback on what you just relayed to all of us. Tyler, my wife is currently studying for her real estate license. Should she rethink this career path, Eric?
My prediction, so the answer is no. Being a realtor has so much opportunity to serve people well, to design a life that you want. It has unlimited glass ceilings. But I believe that the future for realtors are involved with teams. I've ran a team since 2012, and I'm convinced of it that you have to be better together. This now is about alignment of resources and education and skills and simply getting your 90-hour real estate license then expecting to know how to navigate through this is an irresponsible way to do this. And we owe it to our buyers and sellers, we owe it to our clients to be the best we possibly can. And so to the texter's question, your wife should still get her license and then she should come work with a really talented team.
We left off with this question. I want to get an answer. How does it work when a real estate firm represents both a buyer and seller? Mm-hmm.
So that's called dual agency. Dual agency is different in North Dakota versus in Minnesota, but it still is really the same thing. If the firm and or the realtor are representing it, it's just called different things in different states. But nonetheless, if you now listen to the last segment, and we talked about what's happening, we're seeing that in this situation, I think a lot of buyers are going to go directly to the listing agent. I'm going to save some bucks. I'm going to go and work with this listing agent, and I'm going to get represented really well. If there's not other competition on the property, yeah, maybe. Dual agency, I've done it a bunch in my past, and I'll do it a bunch in my future, and it has its advantages to it. But it's difficult for a realtor in a contentious, highly stressful situation to give unbelievable fiduciary responsibility to both sides. Those were a lot of big words to simply say, how can you be a lawyer for both the defendant and the prosecution? Like it doesn't work as well. And so I think having your representation, and the importance of a realtor, is higher now than it ever has been, especially with these changes.
There's some people saying, well, look, I'm going to be selling my own home now. I want to get your reaction to that. And people are talking about appraisals, a variety of topics. That's in store for Eric Hatch. You got a question, send those in, and he'll get you an answer next. I'm going to get right back to Eric Hatch. It's Keeping It Real. You can dance while I get to some of these messages. You can dance if you're tuning in on 104.7. These type of drums sound better on the FM dial. Can we all agree? The AM dial just sounds more hollow.
This is such a banger. I love this song.
I think this is some of the, on these dates, the obscure things that I found. I don't remember what happened, but this is part of it.
Okay.
Great storytelling, right?
Yes. So good.
Speaking of storytelling, I'm going to read this message, and then I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
Tyler, I missed the first part of this segment. Could you have Eric restate what's happening in the last 5 days that is changing everything? So take it from the top. Here's what I'd ask of you, actually. Two things. One, this is all podcast, so you can find it at kfgo.com. Keeping It Real has its own separate podcast, or on the Afternoons Live page, and your show.
That's right. My show is Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. right here on KFGO. Real Estate Radio.
And sizzling.
That's
according
right.
According to the commercials.
I think so. Hot and sizzling. Are those the words that I use to describe my show? It's so good. To recap, there's a lawsuit. This lawsuit is changing the way in which the game is done. Basically, commissions are being handled differently. That's the smallest, quickest summary I can give. But it is deeply impacting home buyers, I think, and especially veterans and first-time home buyers. I think they're the ones that are at the biggest risk.
So here's what's interesting. You say, you know, the buyer is going to have probably the more impact here. This message came in that I read earlier. Tyler, it sounds like I'll be selling my own home on my own now.
That's an interesting perspective. I don't know if I've heard that yet, because I think what most sellers are telling themselves is, boy, I used to have to pay 6-ish% for commission, and now I only have to pay 3. I think that's the story that sellers are. So sellers are excited, I think, at this. The problem is, again, if you want to create the most demand on your property, like, you could go and sell it on your own, right? But why most people don't sell their house on their own and they choose to sell with a realtor is because the realtor can get them exposure, and they can work with strategy to create the highest amount of demand and limit their days on market as well. Tyler, when you sold your house a couple of years ago, I think the most stressful day, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the most stressful day of listing your home is day number 2. Because if you don't get any offers on day number 1, you're now like, how long do I have to sit in this penance of having everything cleaned and everything put away, and my life is completely on eggshells? And so I think that if a seller is operating correctly, they're still going to be offering commission to pay the buy side. But the problem is, that's not even disclosed to us anymore. I can text that realtor if I'm representing the buyer and say, hey, are you paying a commission on this? Because if not, it's going to get requested. Or the buyers that aren't working with the realtor, they think they can go directly to the seller. And they think they're going to get great representation. But I promise you, if you go and work directly with the seller, and I'm already in contract, I'm the realtor that's representing the seller, well, that's my client. You're my customer. There's a difference between a customer and a client. A client is a written contractual full of fiduciary responsibilities. The customer is just the person that knocks on the door. And so you are at a massive disadvantage. And the sellers, again, if you're not paying a full commission, and you don't have to, and by the way, you've never had to, but if you're not paying a commission to an agent that brings in the buyer and you're not willing to do that, you're limiting the exposure on your house. And I fear that that's going to cost you more than you think.
Right. And nobody would, you listening right now, would never accept going and doing work for somebody that's not going to pay you. And that's going to impact individual has.
We had the conversation off air, and it was around, like, let's say I'm with a buyer and I immediately am saying, all right, we got to establish how I get paid, which makes sense, right? That's good business. We got to establish how I get paid. Here's what the conversation looked like yesterday when I'm working with buyers. Is I'll immediately say, hey, it's important that we're full transparency here. I need to explain to you how I get paid. And we put people in contract like this every day. I traditionally get paid from the seller. but our standard rate is 3%. Do you agree that if I do my job, help you find your home, walk you through this, minimize your headaches, and do everything, that if you end up buying a property, I get paid 3%. If you don't buy anything, I don't get paid a thing. But can we agree that I'm worth 3%? The answer 99% of the time is yes. Awesome. Well, I usually get paid from the seller, but if the seller can't pay me, well, I'm going to need to come to you, and we can try to get that negotiated through closing costs. And if not, you'd have to cut a check at the closing table. Are you okay with that? Yes. That's how we've done business for forever at Hatch Broker by Real. For forever. Mm-hmm. Literally 7,000 homes sold with that strategy and approach. But that's not how most of the industry works. Most of the industry will show a house to you, they'll work with you, and then when it comes time for you to write the offer, they hope that the other side gets paid. But here's what's going to happen is, now they're mandating, and this is a good rule, the National Association of Realtors is saying, okay, agents, if you're going to work with a buyer, you got to have the conversation about commission from moment one, before you even show them a house. And you got to get under contract. You have to get a signed agreement that they're going to work with you. Well, if I'm a buyer, I've never met this person before.
Right, there's
so there's hesitation. And if they refuse, here's who's going to refuse. Are buyers that don't see the full picture because they're not fully educated. And so who's going to represent an agent, or who's going to represent a buyer that's not fully educated, is an agent that's not fully educated. I think that it's a responsibility to get somebody to that point. And so if somebody came to me and they said, Eric, no, I'm like, I hope you get paid by the seller, but if you don't get paid by the seller, I'm not going to pay you. There's going to be a lot of buyers that say that, or they're going to say, I can't pay you.
I'm a
veteran. I don't have the cash in pocket. Mm-hmm. I'm being forgotten about in this. They're going to say, I can't pay you a dime. I hope you get paid by the seller. Tyler, that's a really tough spot to be in.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me to put my business on a hope. I hope I'm going to get paid depending on the house you want to see, depending on, like, my time matters a lot. My agent's time matters a lot. Any good realtor is going to say my time matters a lot. And would you gamble with your family? Like, if you're a doctor going into surgery, and like, if the surgery goes the way in which you want, you're going to get paid. But if the surgery doesn't go, you don't get paid. Like, who would choose to do business that way? But mm-hmm. we as realtors, that's where we're at now. And so who's going to lose? Buyers.
The lawsuit itself, I think the way it seems, and this happens, hey, we have good intentions, right? We mm-hmm. think that something's wrong here. We want to make sure that upfront explanation's here. Has the adverse effect. Mm-hmm. Now, in fact, is doing what seems to be more harm than good in one state, and we're already seeing other states follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be copycat lawsuits all over. National brokerages are getting attacked first, and locally, I don't even own my own brokerage anymore, so that's kind of a relief. I'm out of the weeds on that. I want to say this, as you understand what's going on, a lot of things are going to change before this actually takes place in July. Much of what I'm saying today is my opinion. My opinion doesn't mean it's capital T truth. It's a prediction from where I see things are going to go. So whether things are in your favor or not, what's imperative is that you stay abreast and up to date with what's going on. Mm-hmm. You need to, because times are changing. And if you're buying or selling, this is so important that you're working with the right people, because the wrong person is going to cost you not only getting the right house, but it's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars in the wrong direction for you.
Question comes in. Why aren't there flat rates for selling and buying a home as far as costs?
There can be. Yep. Remember, all commissions are negotiated. Do I think that if it's a $2 million house, that a 6% commission is attached to that, and now you're looking at $120,000 of commission? People will argue the $200,000 house and the $2 million house, same effort and energy for the realtor. And that's partially true. But selling a $2 million house should come with a whole lot of marketing, a whole lot of hand-holding, a whole lot of emphasis, and lots of cash invested before commissions ever exchange hands. So flat fees, 100%, are a player in this industry. Will they become more of a player now? Maybe. For me, I've always associated that the more expensive the house, the more risk is involved. For time, for energy, for stress, for things that can go right and things that can go wrong. And so do I think that flat fees are going to show up more? I mean, maybe. Mm-hmm. Realtors have been irresponsibly paid on a positive note for a lot of transactions. I want to be really clear. Sometimes realtors are really overpaid. There's also times in which we do hundreds of hours of work and get $0, or we do hundreds of hours of work for the worst client in the world, and we should have been paid tenfold. So this is an unfair game, because when you gamble, and you're gambling, a commission is a gamble. There's no guarantee. When you show up at a 9-to-5 office job, that is a guaranteed money that's showing up in your checking account. Realtors are gamblers. High risk, high reward.
Got a lot of comments coming in. Okay. I got to get a weather update from Eric Johnson just quickly here. Final segment. I know you've got questions as well. I see them. We'll try to sneak as many of those in as well. This is one of those main start top of news items, this change.
And contact me on social media. Easiest way to find me. I will engage in whatever conversation for as long as it takes to help you understand this and to hear your rebuttals and that sort. So find me on social media, Eric with a K, Hatch.
Very good. We'll come back with more Eric Hatch, keeping it real, next on KFGO. Almost to the 5 o'clock punch up, but there's still time for comments coming in. I know there's questions in here too, Eric Hatch. It's keeping it real. And guess what? We are back together again next week at this time. So if we don't get to your question, as he told you, reach out to him on social media, but also save it, and we'll try to get to it next week if we don't this week. It's clear, Mr. Hatch, if you can spend tens of thousands of dollars on advertising, you are overpaid, comes in.
Is that from you?
No. I don't have his. I wanted to call you Mr.
Oh, thank you. It's clear that I'm overpaid because I spend tens of thousands of dollars on advertising. I choose the lifestyle of high risk, high reward. Most people wouldn't choose this lifestyle for the amount of stress and strain it puts on. To that texter, there are times in which I am overpaid. I make awesome money sometimes. And there's also years that I lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. It took me 5 years to even jump into this career from part-time to full-time because it was so unstable. It has been 90 to 110-hour weeks for years to build what I've built. And so am I overpaid for that? Sure. I'm cool with that. I deserve to be overpaid if I'm going to risk that much.
Very good. 35270 is where you set that in. You can join the conversation as well. Get a direct answer.
It's so important to talk about money. Most people don't talk about money, but I talk about money with people every single day. And once you fully understand what is involved with what fuels it, it's a healthy conversation. I love talking about money.
Well, there's more questions about money. In fact, how this is going to change buying and selling, and who's responsible for what. This is a follow-up to that question that I asked you earlier about the buyer-seller having the same firm. The question remains, how do you have a fiduciary?
I wanted you to say it.
I was going to skip right over it. Fiduciary, there, I said it three times. A relationship with both the buyer and seller.
Okay, so let's say I have the privilege of representing both sides, and this is going to exasperate itself in the next couple of years as this rule changes. I think that a lot of people will be representing both sides. I don't know if that's always great, but here's what would happen is, Tyler, let's say you are my seller. I'm going to have the conversation with you before we ever have any clients at the table, before there are any offers. And I'm going to say, help me understand your parameters and your structure and your style. I'm going to coach you well. I'm going to listen to what's best for you and yours. And we are going to talk about scenarios of if there's another person that comes to the table, what I can and can't talk about. I'll do the same thing on the buy side. I'll have that same conversation of, hey, if you're moving forward, know that I fully represent this client. And so I can't disclose to you any strategy of how you should offer, but I can speak in generalities on any properties. And so traditionally, if a property is newly listed and there's five other buyers at the table, do you believe that you should be paying at, above, or under the asking price? And here are some strategies that usually are advantageous for sellers. So I can speak in those kind of generalities, but I can't tell you, hey, the seller will take 315 if you're willing to go to 315. I can't and I won't. So that's how I would handle a dual agency situation is I would frame it really well before we ever got into the dogfight with both parties.
Personally prefer, because right now what's changed is the buyer, the seller not necessarily being responsible. Not that that ever was, but it was just how work was being done. Is that representing both sides? Because now you could guarantee you're getting paid, right? So is it more advantageous or more ideal to have that situation than it was last week at this time?
That's the assumption that buyers have from what I'm hearing is, oh, they're already getting paid, and so maybe the guy's going to take an extra 1% or 2%, and so they're not going to pay in full, and so I'm going to save money if I go and work directly with a listing agent. That's what a buyer is going to believe. Or they're not even going to pay, but they need to get the house sold, and so that's going to be to their advantage. I don't know if it is, Tyler.
Yeah.
Well,
it's still so fresh right now.
Yeah, the best advantage that anybody has when it comes to buying or selling is awesome representation from the realtor. That is the difference maker in all of this. And so if you want to win, alignment and partnership with great representation is what it's going to take.
You got 30 seconds to give us final thoughts before I let you go, and we do this again next week.
Yeah, I want to continue the conversation, and we will do so next week. Folks, for real, find me on Facebook or find me on Instagram. I'm at Eric Hatch. That's Eric with a K. Easy to find there. And let's keep talking about this. We are here to serve you and navigate through all this. I'm going to do everything I can with the KFGO airwaves, both with the show with you, Tyler, as well as my show Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. to continue to keep you all abreast of what's going on.
Eric, this is a great, very informative show.
Yeah,
I'm glad that we get to do this again next week and dive more into the questions.
It's timed well.
Eric Hatch, keeping it real. We'll do this again next week. But, folks, that's it for me today. I'm Tyler Axis, your host here at After News Live. I'll be back for more of the show tomorrow. Till then, you drive safely. You take care of yourself. I'll check in right here on KFGO.